Nebraska, in and of itself, is kind of an island. I mean, it's a flyover state, a drive-around state, and so a lot of people don't get to Nebraska unless they have a reason to go to Nebraska. You're circled with cornfields and cows. But the university is pride and joy from the academic standpoint. Athletics is what provides all the citizens of Nebraska. It's their edifice where they go for holidays. Every game is a holiday for them.
Faith. By definition, it's something that is felt with strong conviction without tangible evidence of its existence. Many claim to have it, but how do we attain it? It can't be held. It can't be sold. But it can be passed down. Faith is invaluable to those who feel it. How is it that this belief can unite us regardless of our differences? It's because of conviction, that feeling inside that links so many, from the far corners of the earth to the closest reaches of our neighborhoods. Faith is all around us. Faith springs from a glorious past forward to a promising future. The faith that those who not so quietly defeated rivals and redefined record books would inspire their brethren of today to reach such epic accomplishments. And all along, there are those who cheer. In their minds, they envision. In their hearts, they believe. And because of that, they are simply known as the faithful.
If you go back to, you know, when we were winning the Super Bowl in 88, 89, and you talk about the personalities that we had on this football team, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott, just a great cast of characters. And then you talk about Roger Craig, Tom Rathman, Jamie Williams, all from the University of Nebraska. So there was the connection. Husker fans became 49er fans, and I don't know why they wouldn't, because, you know, we wanted the best for Nebraska as far as us playing. We wanted to represent the state. We wanted to represent the university, and we all had the same mentality that, you know, we were tough guys, and we wanted to go out there and lay it on the line.
A little over 1,600 miles from where Jamie Williams, Roger Craig, and Tom Rathman all wore red and gold lies Memorial Stadium, one of the cathedrals of college football. They, too, donned the same uniform there as members of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. But before they were college stars and world champions, they were simply kids trying to make it.
I was born in Florida, but we moved to the Quad Cities in Iowa when I was quite young.
I grew up in central Nebraska, Grand Island, Nebraska. It's right off of Interstate 80, dead center in the state of Nebraska.
I grew up in the Quad Cities, and I had a brother that I had to live up to and live in his shadows. His name was Curtis, and he was like the third best running back in the country, being recruited by, you know, schools like USC, Michigan, Ohio State, you know, Notre Dame.
Regardless of the size of the shadow young Roger Craig was living in, he was beginning to blaze his own path. He and childhood friend Jamie Williams, who lived merely a block from each other, were sharpening their gridiron skills with hopes that they could someday hear their names cheered from the stands.
Roger Craig, he is like a tattoo on my soul. I have been blocking for him since we were in elementary, starting with the Jefferson Jets. That dude, he was high-stepping back then, so it was awesome. Roger grew up playing like he always had something to prove. And Roger was like the first one there, last one to leave. I'm talking as a young age. And coaches always said, if you want to be a star, you need to be that type of guy. And Roger took that wholeheartedly. Roger did amazing things in high school. Like, nobody could tackle him, you know, that kind of stuff.
Playing with Jamie was fun. He always was my protector.
So I always had a big paw around him because we were attached athletically, so you look out for each other.
And Jamie just was a great friend. He's more of a brother to me. When we go out to the the parks and work out, we dream about where we're going to be, you know, in life. And they all laughed at us. A lot of people laughed at us growing up, you know, like, guy's not going to do anything. And we just said, just watch. We're going to do something special.
As the two continued to forge a friendship on the playground, the nation was witnessing something special. on the field, that kinship had become as great as the two had imagined. Roger, like his brother Curtis before him, toted the rock for the Huskers, but did so with his protector nearby. Jamie Williams, who was a year ahead of Roger, helped convince the charismatic runner to join the Huskers despite being recruited by many college programs. That reunited their tandem and also allowed for another player to join the duo.
Tom was, he was younger than Roger and I think he was 2 years under, but he was one of those guys that came from a somewhat small town in Nebraska. He was a lot more mature than you expect.
Well, it was just a 51 fullback flat, and I just ran out to the flat, and I slipped in behind that defensive end, and the cornerback must have went for the flanker, and Turner just lobbed the ball over the defensive end, and it was a matter of catching it and stepping it in the end zone.
You know, he was a tough kid. We could see that. Now, that was part of, you know, got our attention. And then he's like, hey, he wants to hang with us. And we're like, hey, check this dude out. We're like, okay, you can hang, but you can't talk.
Although they may have teased Tom Rathman, the trio did their talking on the field in the way of dominating opponents. A part of one of the most prolific teams the university has ever seen, Rathman, Craig, and Williams helped lead the 1982 team to a 12-1 record and a top three ranking.
The Sea of Red, I mean, that's what a lot of people can associate with Nebraska.
The fans were amazing. We would go to other cities, you know, throughout the country, and we would dominate their stadium with our fans.
The university was, you know, a dream of mine. Always thought and dreamed that I'd love to play for the University of Nebraska Cornhuskers and Tom Osborne.
Tom Osborne is the key. Coach Osborne talked about academics. And he talked about academics in a very grassroots way. He said, hey, whatever you want to be, we have the academic services and programs to get you that. And I was testing. I said, what if I want to be a veterinarian? Oh, yeah, you can do that. What if I want to be an engineer? Yeah, you can do that too. And the fact that he took time to really explain to me what it was about, even though I was very book smart, I wasn't, you know, leave the nest smart. And it felt like it would be a good place. And I tell you, it lived up to everything. Roger, Tom, and myself took a lot of pride in the fact that we were Huskers on the same team.
Jamie Williams, Roger Craig, and Tom Rathman were all Nebraska Cornhuskers. All three of these players helped the Cornhuskers become one of the most feared teams in college football, despite not winning a national title while attending the university. In 1989, all three of them were reunited as members of the 49ers. That year, they would become champions of the football world. Their journey and their characters etched into the history of the 49er franchise forever. And it started with, well, two phone calls.
Free agency comes around. Bill Walsh calls me, wants to recruit me. And, of course, the next call is from Roger Craig. And now I'm getting recruited by the Niners as a free agent, and Roger's doing the sale. And he's like, man, you should be on this team, you know. Man, you should be playing with us. You'll be in the Super Bowl. We do this. It's first class. And there were teams that offered me more money. I went to the Niners because I trusted him. I was really surprised when Bill Walsh called me because I was a different tight end. You know, I read comic books. I had dreadlocks. And he told me, he says, yeah, but when the quarterback says hut, hut, you're all football and you make plays. And for me, you know, that's all I needed to hear, because the big part of success is being someplace where they want you.
Success. That is exactly what Jamie, Roger, and Tom would enjoy. And that success came by way of tenacity and hard work. Hard work that was visibly ingrained in the Husker alums in every rep they took.
Yeah, we had the Nebraska connection out there. Roger learned, I believe, a lot from Wendell Tyler. He had a great work ethic. They both would finish the play in practice. They would run all the way down to the end zone and then trot back only to run another play.
And so we would sit there in the middle of practice thinking, Roger, hurry up and come back. The coach wants you to run the next play, and he'd run 100 yards again. Hurry up and come back. He wants you to run this one too.
For a while, guys would laugh at him. They would snicker, you know, who's this guy? Who's this young pup who's got to run it out every time? But that became the 49ers' way.
He was one of the guys that started the running, you know, even in practice, you know, before Jerry got to the 49ers, it was Roger Craig who would finish his run, taking it all the way to the end zone, you know, and that was his trademark.
I was really amazed at kind of his relentless approach to being prepared. It just was mind-boggling to watch Roger Craig train. And he trained at a level that I think games really became easy for him.
If you ever want to follow in the Niners' footsteps, you can go run the Hill, which is this park kind of on the Redwood City, San Carlos border, and that's where Roger Craig and Jerry Rice and so many of the Niners used to go run. A few weeks ago, I went to go run the Hill, and I pull into the parking lot, and there's Roger Craig stretching out, getting ready to go, you know, long after his playing career is over. You know, that was a proving ground. And guys who could make it up the Hill were the guys who were tough enough to make it in the fourth quarter.
Their mentality was that every time they get the ball, they're running for a touchdown.
Bill Walsh called me into his office before he was going to do the draft, and he asked me about Tom Rathman. I said, well, that's the kind of guy you want on your team because he just loved annihilating linebackers.
If you looked in the dictionary under NFL fullbacks, I think you'd see a picture of a Rathbone in there.
He was the kind of guy who wouldn't elude you. He wouldn't juke left or right. He would come straight at you and enjoy it along the way.
And everybody at Nebraska and that staff, I mean, they swore about this guy, that he is the blood and guts of their program.
Tom showed up as a rookie. Very quickly, Tom acquired the nickname Woody, because other players thought he resembled Woody Harrelson from then the Cheers show. And also, I think maybe a little just the way he carried himself.
I can remember one of our first practices, Tom was running. Tom liked to be a tough, hard-nosed type guy, so he's going through the hole, and somebody has the ball, and he pulls it. You know, Tom from Nebraska, and the ball popped out. And then, it's not funny, but I can remember Bill, you may have to ask Tom about this. He goes, if you keep fumbling the ball like that, your ass is going to go back to Nebraska.
Tom Rathman came in, and he was a beast to run the ball. He was a great blocker. He had great hands. He was really just a sound player.
The players certainly respected him as soon as they found out all the things Tom could do. You know, he could block like crazy, which is why Roger Craig ends up with some 1,000-yard seasons, and he could run the ball himself. The guy was a heck of a receiver. You can go back to the Super Bowl team of 89, the one that ended with them kicking Denver's butt. In that season, Tom was the second leading receiver on the team behind Jerry Rice. I think he had 70-some catches. Jerry had 80-some. I think you can make a case that Tom is the most underrated running back in 49ers history. And maybe one of the most underrated, no, he is one of the most underrated in NFL history.
And on the football field, knock your fanny in the dirt.
He was like an offensive lineman playing fullback. One play that they used to run all the time, and it was a 98-0, which was a trap. You always knew when Tom was running that play because he was always checking his face mask, and you knew he was coming right at you.
And Tom made our offense go back to the old school way of playing with the big hard-nosed fullback. Tom Rathman, if you could vote for fullbacks, would be in the Hall of Fame.
Tom has always been a coach. Even as a player, he was a coach. He was always telling your assignment.
And then as it turned out, he was paying attention all along to everything. He was keeping notebooks on everything. He probably still got his notebooks from 1986 somewhere stashed away, because we all know he's become a great coach and one of the best running back coaches in the NFL.
I go to any alley, the baddest alley on the planet, Tom's going to have my back, and he's going to come out victorious, you know. If we're going to face somebody, trust me, I bet on Tom Rathman.
The respect for Tom Rathman was clearly evident for all who played or coached alongside of him. But like all great relationships, that respect was reciprocated, starting with Tom himself. The love for Roger Craig flowed from the vaunted backfield through the entire 49er squad.
Not only did he have great talent out on the football field, he was a great mentor to me. He kind of took me under his wing. I remember when we were in Green Bay, my wife was pregnant, and the doctor said, well, she's going to get through the weekend. And we got there, and on Saturday, she went into labor Saturday morning. We had left Friday. Who was there to take care of her? Vanessa Craig. She was there. She was one of the first people to hold my oldest daughter, Nicole. I mean, that kind of tells you what the relationship Roger and I have. I mean, we're kind of family. And, you know, you put Jamie in there, you know, he's a great character, great character.
If you go back to the famous video clip of Roger playing against the Rams when he runs through, like, 8 or 9 tackles for a touchdown, and they just can't bring him down.
Probably got hit, like, on one run by 8 times and eventually made it into the end zone, and he did his signature, Roger Craig, high knees, as he knocked everybody out of the way.
I mean, that's what he was doing, that playing flag football, you know? The eyes, like he's scared of a monster.
So he had big eyes, so when he would run through the hole, I heard a lot of those guys say he would hit them with their knees and sometimes knock a guy out.
If you watch him, look at his eyes, you would swear he was on an episode of Walking Dead and trying to get away from zombies.
Yeah, I did have a lot of fear, but my running style, it came from my high hurdling. I was a big hurdler. I love track and field. Track and field is really my first love. My high school coach would always say, get your knees up. You know, we used to run through tires. You know, we didn't have ropes like the fancy ropes the kids have today. We had tires we had to run through. And if you don't get your knees up, you could fall on your face.
Roger was dynamic. I mean, you talk about a great running back. This guy doesn't have any weaknesses. I mean, he can pass block, he can catch the ball, he can block. And obviously, we know what he is as a runner with that high knee action. Very difficult to bring down.
The Punisher. Them high knees, he used to punish people with those things.
A lot of defenders don't like to tackle a guy with the knees coming up, you know, up to your chin almost.
I think I wrote a column once where I said, you know, it'd be fun if the 49ers just came up with a game plan once where Roger just touched the ball every play. He either passed it to him or hand it to him, or maybe he lines up at quarterback. He was that kind of guy.
What he did with the Niners is no surprise to me. It may have been for everybody else. It's, oh, Roger Craig only caught 3 passes at Nebraska, but he becomes the first running back to catch for 1,000 and rush for 1,000. I'm like, that's the same dude that played for the Jefferson Jets. He plays to not fail.
You know, I look forward to someday going back and seeing him in the Hall of Fame, because that's just a matter of time.
Until the NFL became the No Fun League, we had these little stickers that said Huskers, and we put it on our helmet right up here. And so when the camera came on you, you know what I'm saying, you could see we're Niners, but, you know, we're also Huskers.
In the 1980s, the connection between the Niners and Huskers was undeniable. 3 marquee players wore the red and gold after wearing the scarlet and cream. 3 players became closer friends while also becoming world champions. It wasn't a mistake that while they shared the crown of football's greatest, they also shared a great sense of direction for the men at the very top. Legendary Husker coach Tom Osborne and Hall of Fame coach Bill Walsh.
Tom Osborne and Bill Walsh come from the same place. They come from the same place in terms of their understanding of football and their understanding of people. And an insatiable desire to win. I mean, these guys were guys who were deep thinkers, and they were visionaries. And I think that's the connection that I see Nebraska fans seeing the 49ers. A lot of people don't get this, but Coach Osborne was an innovator. I mean, the guy is like a genius. Bill Walsh has been called the genius because of what he did in creating the West Coast offense. He took a Roger Craig, who didn't catch the ball much, and boom, start throwing the ball out of the backfield. And Roger didn't drop it. He developed that.
And as the coaches were working with players to develop them into superior athletes, Husker fans in the 1980s were developing into 49er fans.
I think 49er fans are really savvy football people. They saw some of the Huskers in the Niners. And I believe Bill Walsh saw some of the Niners in the Huskers, which is why he got us there.
I think we converted them into 49er fans over the 80s. We were the team of the decade.
Well, playing for the 49ers was a true blessing because they were the standard, how to do it right, how to treat players right.
In general, that term 49er, anytime you throw that around, you like to have the association of having a high standard. The way it was established early, and it was a family mentality. As a rookie, I came here and it was open arms. It was just like family, and that's why I think the players played so hard. They played for the organization, for Eddie, for the coach. They laid it on the line.
Well, when I hear 49er faithful, I get the chills. I get goosebumps, you know, because I know there's people out there that really, really care about you, not just as a 49er, as a sports figure, but as a person. These fans, they really have your back. They treat you like one of their own. You go to events, you know, you have these faithful fans out there, you know. It could be raining, it could be snowing, they're gonna be there. We have the best fans on the planet.
I think faithful is akin to vision. Vision is being able to see the invisible, knowing you can cross the mountains and there's gonna be fertile ground on the other side. Faithful is that you have belief that you're going the right direction, that the good things are gonna happen. If we don't win today, we'll be right back tomorrow. Cause we're gonna cross those mountains to the fertile land. We're gonna get over that hill.
I think that's it's another slam dunk. Eddie should have been in a long time ago. Rogers should be in. His stats alone gets him in. But the heart that that guy played with, he is a true Hall of Famer.
I mean, he was the first 1,000-1,000 guy, right? So there are people in there that didn't have anywhere near the statistics and the things that set records that he did. Fingers are crossed for him, too.
We want to get Roger into the Pro Football Hall of Fame also because, you know, Roger, his training regimen, what he brought to the game, the high knee action, he was one of those real physical runners on the football field, and the numbers that he put up was amazing also because I think he went 1,000-1,000. Hopefully we can get Roger into the Pro Football Hall of Fame also.
I think he deserves to get in. It's been a long time coming, and he should have been in a long time ago.
I think he should have been in already. And, you know, you look at what he accomplished, the workhorse that he was through some amazing years in our history, and that doesn't happen without him. Hopefully they'll get it right, but he's definitely a Hall of Famer.